book of Matthew and the fifth chapter. Matthew chapter 5. I love to sing those psalms, and I don't believe it is possible, and I know I sing too loud, but I don't think it's possible to sing the praises of the Lord in a timid voice, because we serve a great God. And the Lord hasn't told us to make a beautiful noise. He's told us to make a joyful noise. And a fellow once said, I can't sing pretty, but I sure sing loud. We're not singing to one another. We're not singing for the hearing of those around us. We sing for the pleasure of our God. And what a privilege that is. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first 16 verses as we begin this morning. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let us bow for prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that the book in front of us this morning is like no other. This book is the very inspired Word of God. Father, there is nothing that any man can say in this day that is inspired. But every word that we read from your word is indeed God-breathed for our edification, for our instruction, for our benefit. Father, our hearts are cold. Our hearts are hard. Father, this morning, through your word, warm our hearts. Break down the heart of stone. Grant us a heart of flesh. For Father, our gathering in this place is in vain. It is meaningless if we simply gather with a group of friends. But, O Lord, as your Holy Spirit opens the Word to our hearts and opens our hearts to receive that Word, we shall be edified, we shall be fed, we shall be improved for the kingdom of God. May we not leave this place as we came, but, O God, may we leave this place with a fresh love for Thee, a fresh hunger for Thy Word, and a fresh burden for the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is that sixth verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This fifth chapter of the book of Matthew is the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It will continue on through chapter 7. And this first section is typically called the Beatitudes. Now, the word beatitude is not found in our Bible. It is not a biblical word, but it is a good word in and of itself. It is a title that we've given to this section. And beatitude, in its basic meaning, means blessing. And so you can see where that name comes from, because we have before us a list of blessings. What does it mean to be blessed? You may meet someone and they say, have a blessed day. That has become a very common phrase in our modern lingo, and I don't mean to be critical of it if it is used properly, if it is used as God's word describes the blessed man. But the basic meaning of this word blessed is happy. It is content. The man who is blessed is a man who truly is not the victim of circumstances, is not the victim of the chaos of the world, but the man that truly is blessed is the man that dwells in that sovereign bubble, in that realm of protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That is a blessed man. And it doesn't matter what storms life may bring. It doesn't matter what chaos the world may be in. It doesn't matter who the president is or what war is raging in the world. That man's blessed. That man dwells under the sovereign love and protection of God. Now, the basic meaning of the word blessed is happy. And the world wants to be happy. Mankind will do anything to be happy. And yet we find that some of the wealthiest people in the world are some of the most unhappy people in the world. And we find suicide all around us, and suicide among teenagers is a raging epidemic. It's getting worse and worse. And why do people kill themselves? Because they're not happy. There's never been a happy person that committed suicide. The world wants to be happy. And our world spends millions of dollars on psychiatrists. And yet, the best psychiatric advice that could ever be found is right here in this chapter. If you want to rise above the problems of this life, Christ has told us how. He has told us the pathway of blessedness. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. It's the easiest way to find it. Turn to Psalms and keep going a little bit through Proverbs, and then you're there. Ecclesiastes. Now, we want to look at two different passages there. And I think you're probably starting to learn now that I have long introductions on most messages. Well, that we're heading into a long introduction. But let me tell you the method to the madness. If we're going to understand the Word of God, we're not going to understand it by what some commentator says or what I have to say. To understand the Word of God, we compare Scripture with Scripture. Here we find in the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived and who was wealthy beyond imagination, describes the futility of trying to find blessedness apart from God. And so look first of all with me at Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase, this also is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owner thereof, saving the beholding of them with his eyes?" What happens when somebody hits the lottery and makes a million? Well, the friends come out of the woodwork. Everybody wants a piece. And so people waste their money week after week. "Oh, if I could just hit the lottery, all my problems would be over." Look to the Lamb of God. If you want your problems to be over. I understand Christians have all kinds of difficulties and so on. But if you want to end your problems, look to the Lamb of God. Go to God's Word. There's the solution. Turn over to chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2, and I'll start in verse 1. And we're going to look at an extended passage here before we go back to Matthew. Solomon, the wisest man, wealthy man. And I said in my heart, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1, and I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heavens all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees of them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood and to bring forth the trees. I got me servants of maidens and servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered unto me silver and gold and precious treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men, musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom I retained. Drop down to verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been done already? In other words, what can a man do? He can die. He can do that which has been done already. Then I saw that wisdom exceedeth folly, as far as light exceeded darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived that one event happeneth to all. See, here's the wealthiest man of his day. He's the king, the wisest man that ever lived. And he comes to the conclusion, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Solomon had everything that man could want, but he realized that all was vanity. And so going back to Matthew 5 with that in mind, we have here this Sermon on the Mount. And it is well that Christ would say in chapter 6, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And what is the root of man's unhappiness? Well, his heart. His heart is not right with God. It is the heart, oh, not the beating thing with four valves that sends blood through the body, but it is that innermost man. It is that inner core of man from which comes man's joys and man's sorrows. It is that soul. It is that seat of the emotion that sets man apart from the animals. God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so, in this sermon, Christ is going to teach us also in the sixth chapter that no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one, and he will hate the other. Or he will hold the one, and he will despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it's this fourth of the Beatitudes that I want to focus our hearts and our minds on today. The man described here is truly blessed. The man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is the oddball. He is the exception to the rule of the world. He's not hungering and thirsting after the wealth of this world. He's not hungering and thirsting after his own reputation. He's not hungering and thirsting after a position or a new house or a new car or all the things that man thinks might make him happy, might satisfy him. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I'd point out to you, first of all, that this man is blessed simply because he hungers and thirsts. Did you ever meet a thirsty dead man? Did you ever feed a hungry dead man? When I was in Jamaica, I was asked to do a funeral for the grandchild of one of our church members. And the funeral was not in the church, it was at the yard. The man was a Rastafarian. If you know anything about Jamaican culture, the Rastafarians basically worship Haile Selassie as the latest revelation of Christ. And their worship is centered around ganja, marijuana. They use marijuana to open the spirit in praise and prayer to Haile Selassie. So the casket is open there on top of the grave, waiting to be put in. And all of his friends come by, and I see them all reaching into the casket. And I think, what are they doing? And then suddenly I realized that all of his gang of friends were putting bags of marijuana in the casket. And at first I thought, you know, I need to stop them. And then it occurred to me, what better place for it to be? Because he wasn't going to smoke it. He was dead. The lust of his flesh had carried him to hell. Now, blessed are they that are hungry, because God has made them alive. They have risen from death and sin. When Christ called Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus could not come forth. He was dead. Lazarus could not hear the voice of Christ. He was dead. But with that call from Christ came the new birth. With that call from Christ, there came life. And Lazarus, who was dead and who stank because he had been dead for 3 days, Lord, behold, he stinketh. Lazarus, who was dead, came forth. Ah, what a blessing! And how blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after Christ, because they're alive. They've been given new life. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. But not only are they blessed in that they are alive, they are blessed in that they are healthy. What happens when our body gets sick? We lose our appetite. Ah, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, because a hunger and thirst after righteousness within the heart of the believer indicates that he is healthy. It is an indication that there is a walk there. It is an indication that fellowship is taking place. The lines of communication are open to that man. Christ said to the church of Ephesus, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, that thou hast lost thy first love." And Christ said to the church of Laodicea, "You're not hot, you're not cold. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." There was a sickness in Laodicea. They had once been hot. They had once had zeal and energy. At one time, the Word of God had been precious to them. At one time, they longed to hear the preaching of God. They sang with gusto, I guarantee it. But now they're cold. Now they go about their daily business, and ah, yes, they name the name of Christ. But they're not hot, and they're not cold. I like tea. Hot tea, good. Iced tea, love it. Lukewarm tea, no. You see, one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is blessed, and that is an indication that there is spiritual health. There is a hunger, and a thirst, which indicates that this is a soul that is in communication with his God. But then also, one that hungers and thirsts after righteousness is blessed, because the appetite that is described here in this verse is ferocious. This word, hunger and thirst, in chapter 5 is the same word in chapter 4, verse 2. In chapter 4, verse 2, Christ had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says that he was a-hungered. In other words, he had been 40 days without food. He wasn't looking for a snack. He was famished. He was had a ferocious hunger. And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will find that this hunger and thirst is an all-consuming passion. They say that people that are starving to death can think of nothing else but food. And they can imagine all kinds of food because the mental capacities of the body are focused on that physical need. Ah, that I might eat, for if I eat not, I shall perish. Ah, the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is blessed because it is an all-consuming passion. David is described as the man after God's own heart. Hear the words of David. Oh my God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of my Lord. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments. Ah, David's expression there is not an expression that says, ah, I guess I'll go to church this week. Ah, you know, I probably ought to read my Bible. Well, I haven't prayed in a few days. Maybe it's time to pray. Ah, no, friends. Blessed are those who can't live without it. Blessed are those whose soul is ravenous for their God, ravenous for truth, ravenous to read His Word, ravenous to spend time in prayer. Ah, indeed, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. But further, we find that they're not only blessed because they're hungry and thirsty, but this man is indeed blessed because it is righteousness for which he hungers and thirsts. And we pointed out already that the world is hungry for many things. And the world tries drugs. The world tries immorality. The world tries possession. The world tries all these things that you gotta have it. And they never satisfy. Ah, but the blessed man, his hunger and thirst is for righteousness. I submit to you, my friends, that this is an unnatural appetite. That an appetite which hungers and thirsts after righteousness is an indication that something catastrophic has happened. Something world-changing has happened. Something life-changing has happened. Ah, for a man to hunger and thirst after righteousness is as far from the heart of the natural man as it ever could be. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Ah, this man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness has been given a new appetite. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians that no man knoweth the things of man but by the Spirit of man, and no man knows the things of God but by the Spirit of God. You see, the man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness has been given an unnatural appetite. There's been a transformation that has taken place there. And so well did Paul say, for the preaching of the cross is in that perish foolishness. And well did Christ say, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And Christ said, ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Ah, man seeks darkness, but the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness has been given a new appetite from God. But further, this man is blessed because what he is actually desiring is restoration. You see, God made man for a purpose. God made man to fellowship with him. God gave to man an intellect which the animals do not have. Oh, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But our pets don't worship God. They don't have that communion with God. They have not that soul. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, and they looked forward to that fellowship. There was a union there that was broken by sin. And what is it that most people blame their unhappiness on? Well, I just don't feel fulfilled. Oh, I just don't feel like I'm living my life. You see, man perishes because he cannot fulfill the purpose for which God created him. He cannot fellowship with God. But the man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is hungering and thirsting for the likeness of Christ. He is hungering and thirsting for that relationship to be removed. And what is it that stands between myself and my relationship with God? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh God, free me from my corruption. Oh God, take away the last vestiges of this old man that plagues me. Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. My friend, if you want to be happy, find that fellowship. If you want to be fulfilled, then cling to Christ that he might create in you that for which you were created in the first place. That we might be found in the likeness of Christ. Psalm 65:3, iniquities prevail against me. As for transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. And so this man is blessed in that he hungers and thirsts for righteousness, and he's blessed in that he hungers and thirsts for restoration. But brethren, if we get nothing else from this passage this morning, let us understand that the man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness is not hungering and thirsting for acts of righteousness. He is not hungering and thirsting for something that he's going to do. For all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. This man is not hungering and thirsting that the world may see, oh, look how righteous he is. Ah, he goes to church. He prays. He reads his Bible. Look at all these things. Ah, check off the list. I must be righteous because I do all the right things. Brethren, to hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst for him who is righteous. This man is blessed because it is not acts and deeds for which he hungers. This man is blessed because he hungers for Christ. He hungers to know Him who is righteous. He hungers to fellowship with Him who is righteous. He hungers to be like Him that is righteous, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death, that I may die to myself, die to my sin, die to all the corruption that I have received from Adam, die to all the corruption that I have added to Adam's sin, and be found in the likeness of Christ, that I may embrace Him with all my heart. My friend, to hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst for Christ. For we read in Jeremiah that His name is the Lord, our righteousness. Ah, if I'm hungering and thirsting for acts of righteousness, I will never be filled. If I am hungering and thirsting to conform myself to some model of righteousness, I am doomed to fail. But if my hunger and thirst is for Him who is righteousness, I shall be filled. Ah, brethren, may we as a people hunger and thirst for Christ. Indeed, that man is blessed, because it doesn't matter where he lives, it doesn't matter what he drives, it doesn't matter all these things around us. He'll always have Christ. And he'll always desire more. If you remember back to the verses I read there in Psalms, the emphasis of David's prayer was that I thirst for Thee. I thirst for my God. But if Christ be in you, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Finally, the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, who hungers and thirsts for Christ, is blessed, because there is the assurance in this passage that he shall be. Ah, how glorious it is. If I hunger and thirst for Christ, I will not be left empty. If I hunger and thirst for Him, He will fill me. He will possess me. Ah, yes, we dwell in these bodies of flesh and we stumble and fall and we think things that we hate and we do things that we hate and we say things that we hate. The good that I would that I do not, and the evil I would not that I do. But in hungering and thirsting for Christ, we have the promise that we shall be filled. As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. That's the description of fullness. Delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear unto me and come and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I am the bread of life. Him that cometh to me shall never hunger and never thirst. All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Poor was I and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Well of water, ever springing, bread of life, so rich and free. Untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah! I have found him whom my soul so long had craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. By his blood, I now am saved. Ah, my friend, hunger and thirst after Christ, and all else will be well. Let us stand for prayer.